This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are packed this hour. We'll talk about senators calling for attacks on Iran. Are we about to have a war kickoff? We'll get to a bunch of Ask Dr. Jesse questions. The Texas versus the federal government thing, that's something to deal with. We'll get to all that and much more this hour before we get to any of that. You know what time it is? Every single Monday at this time, we do the same thing. Medal of Honor Monday. We take a Medal of Honor citation earned by an American hero and we read it. That's it. We honor the men. We honor their deeds. We have to hold these people up in front of the next generation. Don't just tell them what you're against. What are you for? Don't just tell them, don't be that YouTube guy. Tell them what they should be. I think Roger H.C. Donlan is a pretty good example of what you should be going for. He was a captain in Vietnam. And, well, sit back and enjoy this.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while defending a U.S. military installation against a fierce attack by hostile forces, Captain Donlan was serving as the commanding officer of the U.S. Army Special Forces Detachment A-726 at Camp Nam Dong when a reinforced Viet Cong battalion suddenly launched a full-scale pre-dawn attack on the camp. During the violent battle that ensued, lasting 5 hours and resulting in heavy casualties on both sides, Captain Donlan directed the defense operations in the midst of an enemy barrage of mortar shells, falling grenades, and extremely heavy gunfire. Upon the initial onslaught, he swiftly marshaled his forces and ordered the removal of the needed ammunition from a blazing building. He then dashed through a hail of small arms and exploding hand grenades to abort a breach of the main gate. En route to his position, he detected an enemy demolition team of three in the proximity of the main gate and quickly annihilated them. Although exposed to the intense grenade attack, he then succeeded in reaching a 60-millimeter mortar position despite sustaining a severe stomach wound as he was within 5 yards of the gun pit. When he discovered that most of the men in this gun pit were also wounded, he completely disregarded his own injury, directed their withdrawal to a location 30 meters away, and again risked his life by remaining behind and covering the movement with the utmost effectiveness. Noticing that his team sergeant was unable to evacuate the gun pit, he crawled toward him and, while dragging the fallen soldier out of the gun pit, an enemy mortar exploded and inflicted a wound in Captain Donlan's left shoulder. Although suffering from multiple wounds, he carried the abandoned 60-millimeter mortar weapon to a new location 30 meters away, where he found three wounded defenders. After administering first aid and encouragement to these men, he left the weapon with them, headed toward another position, and retrieved a 57-millimeter recoilless rifle. Then, with great courage and coolness under fire, he returned to the abandoned gun pit, evacuated ammunition for the two weapons, and while crawling and dragging the urgently needed ammunition, received a third wound in his leg by an exploding enemy hand grenade. I'm not done yet. I'm not even close to done yet, but just keep going. Just hang on. Despite his critical physical condition, he again crawled 175 meters to an 81-millimeter mortar position and directed firing operations which protected the seriously threatened east sector of the camp. He then moved to an eastern 60-millimeter mortar position, and upon determining that the vicious enemy assault had weakened, crawled back to the gun pit with the 60-millimeter mortar, set it up for defensive operations, and turned it over to two defenders with minor wounds. Without hesitation, he left his sheltered position and moved from position to position around the beleaguered perimeter while hurling hand grenades at the enemy and inspiring his men to superhuman effort. As he bravely continued to move around the perimeter, a mortar shell exploded, wounding him in the face and body. As the long-awaited daylight brought defeat to the enemy forces and their retreat back to the jungle, leaving behind 54 of their dead, many weapons and grenades, Captain Donlan immediately reorganized his defenses and administered first aid to the wounded. His dynamic leadership, fortitude, and valiant efforts inspired not only the American personnel, but the friendly Vietnamese defenders as well, and resulted in the successful defense of the camp. Captain Donlan's extraordinary heroism at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty are in the highest traditions of the U.S. Army and reflect great credit upon himself and the armed forces of this country. And we read this one because we lost... Yeah, he ended up as a colonel. We lost Colonel Donlan on Thursday, January 25th. He finally passed, and I thank God men like him have ever existed. Do you know how exhausting crawling is? We'll get to the emails and all kinds of other stuff. When's the last time you crawled, low crawled? Have you ever in your life? Most people have not. Have you ever crawled and dragged something heavy with you while you crawled? And I'm bringing this up for a reason, because obviously there was a lot of crawling there. Crawling 60 meters here, 30 meters there, 150 meters here. I had not done very much crawling before I joined the Marines. And then in boot camp, you're always low crawling, low crawl. You've seen the movies, low crawling under barbed wire, low crawl under this. And you're young and in really great shape. And then you're low crawling, you're dragging this, you're dragging a buddy, you're dragging an ammo can, you're dragging various things. I can't describe to you how physically exhausting crawling is in peacetime. When no one's throwing grenades at you, when you haven't had your stomach split open by grenade shrapnel. This dude spent all his time carrying, running, and crawling for 5 hours wounded. That is, I don't even know physically how you could do that. I don't even know how that's humanly possible to have that much physical. It's just, dang, man, that's friggin' awesome. You know what? I bet you his T levels were skyrocketed. I bet what, Chris? Listen, Chris, listen. There are many people, in fact, most men today need a male vitality stack from Chuck. Not that you're weak. We drink estrogen and our T levels have dropped to the point we now have to take supplements, natural herbal supplements, to try to fight back against that. Captain Donlan didn't need a male vitality stack from Chuck. In fact, I think maybe his face should be on the bottle of the male vitality stack. Do you want T levels like Captain Donlan? Take a male vitality stack. Seriously though, 20% increase in your testosterone levels in 90 days. Huge sales now through the end of February. Huge discount on subscriptions for life. to the end of February. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Everyone but Captain Donlan, Colonel Donlan, God rest his soul. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Hey, Jesse, there's a lot of talk on the right about Governor Abbott denying the Supreme Court decision on the border. While I agree he should, what do you think the commie-crats' response or punishment would be? Okay, so first of all, I need to clarify about what happened on the border for everybody. This is what the Supreme Court actually said. This is what actually happened. What the Supreme Court actually said was Border Patrol agents are now allowed to go cut the razor wire that Texas put up. Texas put up razor wire because the government wouldn't secure this sector. The Supreme Court said the Border Patrol is allowed to go in and cut the razor wire. That's really the specifics. That's it. That's what they said. Now, what that has done is it's elevated everything. It's escalated everything. And look, I haven't had a chance to talk to you because I've been gone for 2 days. You know, I was traveling to be on a show, and then Friday my freaking flight got sent to Atlanta. It doesn't matter, but I haven't been here for 2 days. So we haven't had a chance to sit down and actually discuss what's happening, what we want to happen, what we should be doing, what our concerns are. Okay, so let's just stop and digest everything. One, illegal immigration, as I have brought up before. That and debt will end any nation of any size. Again, think of it like a ship in the middle of the ocean. It doesn't matter how big and strong the ship is. You take on enough water, the ship goes down. Period. Could be the biggest, strongest ship that ever existed. Debt and illegal immigrants are water. Understand that. That we are the ship and they are the water. It guarantees the collapse of America. All right? Now, knowing that, let's dig into where we're going to go from here. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. If you missed Lee Smith, you want to go listen to that interview. Trust me on that. If you missed me for a second, I mean, my goodness, why would you miss out on me?
Changing people's lives.
You need to go download a podcast of the show. iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. All right, so go ahead and do that. Now, this Texas situation. We haven't discussed it. We haven't had a chance to because I've been freaking gone for 2 days and it sucked. So here we are. All right. Now let's discuss it. I already brought up that illegal immigration, endless, unchained, unrestricted illegal immigration. It is not a side item for communists. It's really not. It is a central part of their plan. I encourage you to go read the Cloward Piven strategy. Cloward Piven strategy. What was the Cloward Piven strategy? Well, remember, these people are about the revolution. Everybody. That's what communists are. Everything is about the revolution. What does that mean? What's the revolution? America is evil. The Western civilization is evil. And it has to be burned down. It has to be burned down so they can then, of course, they always promise they're going to create something new after that. Okay, so we have a bunch of subversives here trying to burn everything down. How would they go about doing this? Well, here's the Cloward Piven strategy. This is direct from the internet. The Cloward Piven strategy seeks to hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands, amassing massive unpayable national debt, and other methods such as unfettered immigration, thus pushing society into crisis and economic collapse by overwhelming the system. Unless you understand that that's what they're doing and that's their motivation, then honestly, you should probably turn the radio off unless you accept that and understand that. Because if you can't get from there, that's a step one. That's the crawl before you walk thing. You must understand that. It is not a side item. Believe it or not, taxes for these people are a side item. Abortion is a side item. These are side items. Even foreign affairs, they're really side items. They need debt. mountains of unfunded liabilities, which of course we have, trillions and trillions of dollars of it. It's a requirement. That's how you sink the ship. Unfettered immigration is also a requirement. It's central to them. Now, that brings us to this Texas thing. Texas, the border states, really no state, they cannot withstand unending immigration. No country can. They can't do it. So they had to step in and stop it, or try to slow it down. They didn't stop anything, keep in mind. They had to step in and try to slow it down. Now you're hearing a lot of things like this out of the Biden administration, which is hilarious.
Are there not steps that he could use under executive authority to some measures to kind of seal some of the border efforts?
He has said he's willing to use executive measures. And you know, if he gets the bill passed, if he gets border funding and includes those authorities, he'll use those authorities.
Why wait till Congress?
We need legislative support for border security measures, and we need the funding to be able to put in place border security measures that the president can utilize.
Okay, I need to clarify something for everybody, because your liberal Aunt Peggy, she's going to say that at your family get-together this weekend. She went up to the hive mind. Remember, she's a robot. The communist is more robot than human, and that is the talking point they're out there now. They're putting out there now. Senator Naked Kendall, James Lankford is saying the same thing. Democrats are, well, we need border security. We have to have money. We have to have money. Republicans won't secure the border. So I need to clarify something. Anyone who says that to you is either an idiot or a liar. An idiot or a liar. Liberal Aunt Peggy, she's probably an idiot. The politicians who say that, they're liars. But every bit of legislation is already in place to secure the border. The Biden administration is defying the law. They're breaking the law so they don't secure the border. Remember, the Biden administration is spending your money every single day to legally block the wall that's supposed to be being built. They are spending your money to purposely keep the border open, because once again, I will repeat myself, it is not a side issue for the American communist. It is a central part of his plan. It is everything to him. And that is what leads us to the Texas situation, which I frankly am very, very concerned about. And here's why. If we're sharing a boat, speaking of boats, we'll just stick in a boat. You and me, we're in a two-person boat out in the ocean. And I want to live. I want the boat to survive. I want to survive. So I need the boat to stay afloat. You want to die. You want to die. You want to kill me. You want to sink the boat. You really, really want this. I really, really want to stay alive. We're in the same boat. You have dedicated yourself to putting holes in the boat so you can sink it. I can't afford to let you do that, because I have to live. You can't afford to stop or to let me stop you, because you need to sink the boat. That leads us to where we are now, and where I think this situation is going, both in the short term and long term. We'll talk about that next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I like that song, Chris. What? Why are you sneering at it? Why are you?
It does sound like a middle school dance. Don't you have any fond memories of middle school dance? I was about to say I couldn't dance, as if that was a past tense thing, but the truth is I can't dance now either. My wife, yeah. Oh, did I try at the wedding? Oh, I've done more than try, Chris. I've done it several times in our marriage because not only am I a bad dancer, I will, my wife loves to dance. So she's one of these artistic, she was a gymnast. She's one of these people that loves to dance. So I'll get myself all worked up at a big wedding or an event or something like that. And I'll be like, a couple beers and feeling loose. And man, I feel like I'm really moving to the music now. And then I go out there and then she tries to break it to me easily. She'll usually break it the next day. And then she'll tell everybody after she breaks it to me easily that dancing with me is like wrestling with a grizzly bear. She says, what did she say? He has no idea what he's doing, yet he insists on leading. And that's probably true, but I feel like I know what I'm doing in the moment. And I'm big, right? I'm 6'8". And so I just kind of just toss her around, no matter which way it is. She's 5'2", and I'm 6'8", and I just kind of, I guess you would probably call it manhandling. I felt like I was moving, right? Anyway, middle school dances were the best because you were never expected to dance well. You had to wait till that song came on or a song like that, and then you go out and you do the awkward thing where she puts her arms around the back of your neck and you kind of respectfully put your hands above her waist, gentlemen, and you just kind of sway back and forth. You're, wow, man, look at me, I'm Fred Astaire. That's really what. And then I would always brag, well, I swept her off her feet. All right, shut up, back to what we were talking about. Okay, so the communists have to have the border open. Now, I'm going to pause on this because I'm going to play an audio cut of something that sounds separate, but it's going to help me make the point I'm about to make. Short term and long term, where I see this going. Let me give away the spoiler. Short term, I do not see this situation escalating badly. Why? Well, here's why. Greg Abbott, whatever you think, maybe you're a fan. I'm not. It doesn't really matter. But what you think or what I think, it doesn't matter. He was a COVID tyrant, so I dislike him. But none of that matters. He's still a politician and a savvy politician. And Republican politicians, if there's one thing they have mastered, it's knowing when it's time to sound tough without ever actually doing that much to be tough. And look, he's been great on this issue so far. So I want to make sure I'm throwing that out there. I'm not big on qualifiers, but he has been great so far. In the end, this is what I was told by a source. You ready for this source? This is what I was told. And what's the best way I can put it? This is a source who would know. All right? A source told me that Abbott and Biden, they're going to come to an agreement that makes it look like Biden backed off when really he didn't. Abbott gets the win, the political win. Biden doesn't press this too far. The issue goes away. You watch. By next week, if not before, Chris, go ahead and write this one down. The whole Texas tension thing will be gone. All right? And I tell you when I know things and when I think things, all right? That I have a source on. I don't want to say I know it, but I got a pretty good source on that one. Okay, so that's the short term. Now for the long term. This brings me to the soundbite I have. This is not Joe Biden or anything like that. This is a guy named Dennis Meadows. He's a scientist and a professor. I want you to listen to how these people think, and I want you to understand something. This is not just Dennis Meadows. This way of thinking, it has seized every one of your institutions, your entertainment, your media, your education, your government. Listen to this.
In one way or another, we are globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels which can be supported by this planet that I know in one way or another it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil enough.
When he says it, I need to clarify something.
I'm going to start it again. He's talking about, I've played this for you before a long time ago. He's talking about reducing the Earth's population to 1 billion people. There are 7 billion people on the planet. He's talking about the death of 6 billion people. Listen.
In one way or another, we are globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels which can be supported by this planet that I know in one way or another it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way. Peaceful.
Notice how he's struggling with the elimination of 6 billion people. What's he struggling with? It's not their death. He doesn't care about that. Kill the 6 billion. Remember, he's a genocidal monster. Almost all climate changers are genocidal monsters. He doesn't like how it sounds. I need these 6 billion people to die, but not in a way that makes me sound like the bad guy. So I'm going to try to pause a lot and search for the right words here. I'll rewind a little bit. I'll let him go again.
That it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way. Peaceful. Peace doesn't mean that everybody's happy, but it means that conflict isn't solved through violence.
Look, not everyone's going to be happy. If you're one of the 6 billion people who has to die, obviously you're not going to be happy. I just don't want it to be violence.
Through force. But rather in other ways. And so that's what I hope.
In other ways. Okay. So I'm going to let that go for now. In other ways. What does he mean, in other ways? What do they want? Well, he intends to starve 6 billion people to death. He's not going to show up at your house with a gun and shoot you. That would be too violent. He's going to take away your ability to purchase food, to heat or cool your home. He'll burn everything down around you, and when you die in the process, just don't blame him. He was peaceful about it. He didn't shoot you. What's your problem? See, now, that brings us back to the Texas thing. Set the Texas thing aside, because like I said, I just have a feeling this thing's going to work itself out. In the long term, though, you're getting your first little preview of how a conflict of some kind is going to happen in this country. And I pray to God, whenever it gets here, it's not violent. That it doesn't turn into some kind of horrible civil war, which would be so unspeakably awful, I can't even put it into words. But this is exactly how it's going to happen. Back to what we were talking about. We're sharing the boat. I want to live. I want the boat to float. You want to die. You want the boat to sink. We're both in the boat together. There's going to have to be a conflict of some kind, because the person who wants to put holes in the boat, he cannot be allowed to do that. And in his mind, I can't be allowed to save the boat. So you're seeing how it's going to happen. The federal government and its communists, they will attack relentlessly now any red state efforts to stop them in their plans to burn it all down. The red states can't afford to allow themselves to burn it all down. That's why you saw a coalition of red states form so quickly. Either way, remember what Daddy Jesse has told you time and again. Get on the right side of that line before the music stops and you don't have a chair, all right? Because this was the opening shot, if you will. I don't know whether it's tomorrow or 50 years from now, but this is how it really goes down, and it won't be 50 years from now. Now, maybe that was painful to listen to. Maybe that was hard to hear. Well, listen, life is about pain. We go through pain in life. Now, you go through more pain than I do. It's not because I'm a world-famous author or a radio host. I take Relief Factor every day. So all those aches and pains, I get relief from all that. And not with ibuprofen, not with more pills. I take drug-free all natural relief factor. Uses things like turmeric and other things. Your neck, your back, your feet, your hands, they hurt, they're sore. You don't have to live like that. They sell a 3-week quick start kit. Take it for 3 weeks, you'll never stop. It's that amazing. What a difference. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I don't like the song, Chris. I don't. You know what it is? I don't like the call and response songs. It's stupid. It's a stupid song. It is. The call and response songs suck, Chris. You suck. I'm kidding. I didn't mean that, Chris. I've been lashing out a lot, and you haven't been sleeping and everything. It's a disaster. All right, remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I am going to get to a bunch of emails. You know what? I'm going to get to some emails right now because I was going to rant on these senators pushing for direct action against Iran. You know what? Let's adjust this really quickly. Lindsey Graham, all of them, they're all out there now. War with Iran, war with Iran, war with Iran in response to our service members being killed. And obviously, I understand the sentiment. Iran needs to pay for attacking our service members. But this is why I've been warning over and over and over again about the state of our military, the state of not only recruiting and retention, the state of the materials we have, or more specifically, do not have. One, let's be frank about something here. We don't have the money. How many times have you heard me scream about this over and over and over again? No matter what they do, whether it's spending money on something I love or something I hate, the money is gone. And these people are no longer even pretending as if they're going to get prices back
down. How do you convince Americans and voters that those prices might not go back to where they were before the pandemic?
Well, I think most Americans know that prices are not likely to fall. It's not the Fed's objective to try to push the level of prices back to where they were.
Did you hear what the Treasury Secretary just said? I'm going to play it for you again in case you missed it. Remember all that time they said the inflation was going down, inflation's going down, life's good, hey, don't worry about it. I believe this is what you call throwing in the towel.
How do you convince Americans and voters that those prices might not go back to where they were before the pandemic?
Well, I think most Americans know that prices are not likely to fall. It's not the Fed's objective to try to push the level of prices back to where they were.
I think most Americans know these prices aren't going to go down. After all, we're not even trying.
We don't have the money for war. You gave away all of our artillery shells to Ukraine. Don't think they actually helped the Ukrainians. Article out today, Ukrainian officials charged with stealing $40 million from the weapons budget. This is on the heels of Defense Secretary Austin telling us this.
The United States continues to work hard to monitor and account for U.S. security assistance delivered to Ukraine. And we've seen no credible evidence of the misuse or illicit diversion of American equipment provided to Ukraine.
We gave all of our artillery shells to Ukraine. They've since been sold onto the black market. In fact, if we were to go to war with Iran or anyone else, there's a very good chance we would have our own artillery shells landing on our troops because they were purchased on the black market. We don't have the money. We don't have the munitions. We don't have the recruits. We don't have the retention because our most important people are getting out because they don't want to fight for the U.S. of gay. They don't want to hear how racist they are. They're leaving. Okay, so all that's really, really bad. This is why you don't put your manufacturing in a bind. This is why you don't put yourself financially in a bind. This is why you don't let your military rot out from underneath you, because there may come a time, like right now, when you have to respond. The United States of America, our service members were killed. We don't have any choice but to respond and respond in a way that kills Iranians. We have to.
You have to, as a nation. This would go for any nation at any point in history. If you're seen to do nothing in response to this, it's going to be open season on our people everywhere. We must respond. But we don't have the money. The money's gone. The munitions are gone. The people are gone. This is why I yell so loud about this stuff before it becomes a problem. All right, and speaking of all this, probably as good a time as any to remind you about Tunnel to Towers. Gold Star families are obviously back on our minds and our hearts today. Well, when dad doesn't come home, when mom doesn't come home, whether first responder or military, I don't want to sit and pretend like I know what that kind of loss is like, but my goodness, it's got to be devastating, right? Tunnel to Towers, they're the ones who help the widows and orphans. They're helping homeless veterans. They're out there providing entire communities to Gold Star families. Imagine that. Dad is gone, and it's awful, and it's heart-wrenching, but here's a home in a community with other people who are going through what you're going through. Come together and heal. That's what you get with Tunnel to Towers. They ask for $11 a month. I'd say we can do that, can't we? 11 bucks a month. Go sign up to give it automatically. You'll never know it's gone. T2T.org. All right? T2T.org. Jesse, I'm going to get to a bunch of questions now. The purpose of a system is to do what it does. If you set out to make a fridge instead of create an oven, you've not made a faulty fridge. You've simply created an oven. My question is, why is that attitude not more readily applied to politics? If I set out to make a utopia and end up killing 500 million people, then I can no longer be trusted with a second attempt, regardless of my original intentions. What is it about human beings that makes them so trusting about political systems in particular? Do people just naturally overcomplicate things in their own heads? It's a really, really great question. His name is Errol. Okay, so let's discuss this. Communism, for example. Any form of Marxism, the various forms of Marxism where it's taken place. Everyone knows the numbers by now. Pick your number. 100 million, 150 million. The amount of death that's come down from this religion is staggering. And yet, people practice it and practice it openly today. Remember Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum? Remember, he has a bust sitting on his bookshelf. You can go look at it. It's a bust of Vladimir Lenin. So Klaus Schwab has the bust of the man who really kind of kicked off the death of 150 million people. How? What? Why? How does that happen? Well, let's talk about communism. Remember this. Remember, it's all in the end just about power. It's all about what, sadly, life has been about for a very long time. Evil people trying to gain power, keep their enemies from having power. All this is, in the end, it's a means of acquiring power for people. Once you understand that that's really their true motivation and that they're not like you, they don't care who they hurt as they're trying to do it, that really explains everything. If another 150 million had to die, none of these people would lose a second of sleep. All right. Jesse was right about something. And asked Dr. Jesse questions. And a little bit about how they work. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.